Government leaders in Ankara and in Washington are debating their next moves. Over the weekend, Turkey's parliament refused to give U.S. combat forces access to Turkish territory. A government-backed motion to allow more than 60,000 U.S. troops in Turkey fell 3 votes short on Saturday. The unexpected defeat was a major blow to Pentagon planners who had anticipated taking U.S. troops through Turkey to open a northern front against Iraq. Tom Jelton is NPR's national security correspondent. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Was this the final word from the Turkish parliament, or might the decision be reconsidered?
Well, the U.S. military is very much hoping the Turkish government will bring this motion back to the parliament for another vote. There are a couple dozen U.S. ships loaded with military equipment waiting in the eastern Mediterranean, and so far, Bob, they haven't turned around and headed out of there. U.S. officials still have their fingers crossed the Turks will rethink this. The Turkish stock market took a nosedive this morning on the realization that the country might miss out on close to $30 billion in grants and loan guarantees. And there's some hope that when it sinks in how much Turkey stands to lose, a handful of votes could change. The United States could get this permission to use Turkey as a staging area. I think that we should watch those ships in the eastern Mediterranean. If they turn around and head for the Suez Canal, we'll know the United States is giving up on getting use of those Turkish facilities.
Well, this has to slow down war preparations.
Well, it's hard to say because detouring the 4th Infantry Division from Turkey down to Kuwait could take 2 or 3 weeks. It's kind of rush hour, Bob, through the Suez Canal right now. There's a lot of congestion in the ports at Kuwait as well. So just the delay from moving these troops and their equipment would be substantial. Now, the U.S. war planners could decide to begin military action without the 4th Infantry Division. There are certainly plenty of other units available. So in that sense, it's not clear how much of a delay there would be.
What happens to the idea of a northern front?
It probably disappears. There would still be troops, U.S. troops in northern Iraq. General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said on Friday that one way or another, there will be U.S. troops in northern Iraq. U.S. Special Forces and some outside contractors have been improving some makeshift airfields up there, and U.S. troops could be flown directly in. But their mission would probably be different. They really wouldn't be in a position to open a ground offensive against Iraqi forces from the north like the one that you would have coming up from Kuwait. For this reason, an offensive like that requires armor, requires tanks, heavy equipment. The Iraqis have troops up north, and airborne units would not be equipped for that mission. Instead, they'd probably concentrate more on securing the oil fields and basically keeping a lid on things in the north without cooperation from Turkish forces. There could be a lot of unrest, and U.S. troops would have their hands full in northern Iraq and really would not be free to march south on Baghdad. Now, one way you could still have a northern front would be if you brought troops up from the south, circling around through western Iraq and then coming down from the north. But that would be a time-consuming operation. It's certainly not what U.S. commanders had in mind for a northern front.
What impact would these changes have on the war?
It would mean two things, Bob. First, it would be this war would be more dangerous. It's far more dangerous to fly troops and equipment into a war zone than to bring them in overland. You have to worry about planes being shot down. There are a lot of surface-to-air missiles around Iraq. These airfields in the north are not all that safe. The second thing is it would mean that you would not be likely to win this war as quickly as you otherwise might. And that's a serious issue because the one fundamental character of the U.S. war plan has been speed. This is important to U.S. commanders for many reasons. A fast war is one in which there's less time for weapons of mass destruction to be used, less civilian casualties. If you had a slower war, the danger of all kinds of bad things happening would be greater, Bob.
NPR National Security Correspondent Tom Jelton.